Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Martin Keown, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Let's burn some rubber, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus, and it's a pleasure to have you here, the Ramblers. That's right, Jim.
Hello.
Pete.
Hello.
And Luke.
All right.
And also good to have you, the listeners. Now, Pele's son, Joshua, recently played for Santos in London.
Pele.
Josh Pele here, gonna score me a goal.
In an under-17s tournament.
If someone said to me they were called Josh Pele, I wouldn't believe they're a real person.
Pele's not Pele's surname, is it?
What happened to all of Pele's other sons? Because surely, you know, 17 years old, Pele was still an old man.
Yeah, true.
Mm. He's the James Brown of football. Who's your favourite footballing father and son combo, Jim?
I'm going to go big straight away. Stop. Is it Paolo Maldini? Yes, it is. And his dad, Cesare.
Bloody hell,
Cesare.
Finally. What a start.
Yeah, huge.
Gordon Bennett.
Two absolute Milan legends. Both one club men, I believe, as well.
I hope you're in a comfy chair, listeners.
Yeah, just massive. Yeah. Just that two such successful players.
Yes.
And it's quite rare that you get that.
Mm.
I think Paolo sort of was better than his dad.
I love that
combo. A legend anyway, wasn't he? How often do you see that?
And, you know, as you say, international level, manager and left back.
Ooh. Not very often, Jim, is the answer.
Mm. I remember him going absolutely
and
crazy.
And loads of people have kids.
Yeah, literally almost everyone.
Like the species is built on that.
Yeah.
I'll look into that. But when England played Italy at Wembley, Matt Letizia, we lost 1-0 that game. Maldini, I remember him doing something wrong and it cut to the bench and Cesare was absolutely flipping mental. I think that whole sort of he gets double because he's the manager's son.
You're grounded.
Yeah. You've got to be seen to giving him pelters if he's your son, isn't the team.
Exactly.
I read a fact the other day that that there was a survey done of local kids teams and it was something phenomenal, like 80% of managers' sons play up front. It was massive.
Wow.
It was massive. So at least he hasn't done that trick, that old chestnut.
Mm. Oh, the left back position was always Paolo's.
Oh,
imagine
yeah.
if you tried to play him up front.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really good at this.
Yeah.
If I'm ever dad's manager, I would insist on managing a different team to my sons.
Would you?
Yeah.
I mean,
the
be
wife
an evil
would
dad.
Give me proper pelters.
And,
you know.
And if you won against your son's team, would you go up to him, give him the Mourinho?
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah. I'd try and nut him.
Get home from football. Tell your mum how you got on.
Our tactics.
Yeah. Oh, what have we learned?
It's all right, love. I don't want anything for dinner. I've had the boy on toast, haven't I?
Yes, I will have my pint of mild and serve it in this. Thank you. isn't that supposed to be for the children? Shut up.
The Maldinis, to begin with. Very strong start to this opening question, ladies and gentlemen. Can Pete Donaldson top that?
Oh, Bagsy, the Good Johnsons, please.
Oh, my goodness, it's
on the same goddamn pitch.
No, one came on for the other. One came on for the other.
You're saying that they didn't cover the same blade of grass?
No, but one has to stay off the pitch.
They were in the same squad. I'm not having this. I'm not having this. I'm sure they're both on the pitch at the same time at some point.
You stated your case poorly for such a strong example.
You should at least tell the listeners which Good Johnsons you mean.
I had a Good Johnson and I can't remember.
What's his dad's name, Pete?
Is it Arjen or something?
Arna.
Don't know because it's not my answer.
Well, I still bagged it, didn't I? So eat a dick.
And he probably will. I think he was only 17 years old when
he came on. It was in an international, wasn't it?
No, as in Arna was only 17 or something like that when he brought Ida into the world.
Because Iceland massively overachieved for the size of their... I mean, there's only about 50, 60 people living
there. I've often stated that they are the most overachieving nation when it comes to soccer ball.
Scotland.
Well, yeah. No, because
they clearly do a lot of sex.
Mm. Well, but they clearly don't because they've only got a population of about 400,000.
Yeah. London has about 6 or 7 million. Yeah.
8 million, Jim.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. It's more than Iceland.
I mean, it's getting bigger.
Can I just say Scotland wasn't a serious answer?
Okay.
Yeah. I just wanted to clear that
maybe
up.
Maybe not the 20s, you know, when they were the best team in the world, along with England, overachieving, perhaps. The Good Johnsons, excellent. Of course, when they were playing.
Gloriously blonde.
When they were playing for Iceland, Ida came on for his father, which is just fantastic.
Lovely old job.
It's great stuff.
Fantastic. Does that trump the Maldinis? Find out in a bit, ladies and gentlemen. Luke.
I'd have to become really good at football, have a son now, and still be playing when I was 48, 49, for that to happen to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unlikely.
Well, we're waiting for your career to take off.
Yeah, we all are.
What are you going for then, big
guy? I'm going to go for the Allardyces.
Okay!
Chiefly because Big Sam had a decent enough career. You know, he's done well managing the Premier League. He played for Sunderland, Bolton, decent teams. Mm. His son had a mental career, basically knocked about the non-leagues for ages.
Yeah.
And then signed for Guangdong Huangjian in the Chinese League.
Yeah, which sounds made up.
No, exactly, in 1994. Mm. And then he played for them five times, then came back to Northwich Victoria. He's definitely the only player to sign for Northwich Victoria for the Chinese team.
And now he's got a career as a football agent?
Yeah, they're probably less. I mean, it can be quite litigious talking about that sort of stuff with the Allardyces, so I'd probably leave that if I were you.
Yeah, okay. I think he probably
gets... That is really very much all down to what you actually say, isn't it?
Yeah,
so, he definitely gets. I mean, just read out his LinkedIn. He's unlikely to libel himself on that particular website.
Sue me for this, Craig. You're shit at football, mate.
He definitely gets paid more now than he did in his footballing career.
Yes.
Even if he has played in the Premier League, some might argue. But anyway, we're on rocky ground. I'll go for the Cruyffs. Johan and Jordi. I saw Jordi play for Manchester United at Selhurst Park against Wimbledon once.
Oh yeah, because everyone wants to have seen Jordi, don't they?
And he scored. And he scored.
Saw a Cruyff player, did you? Because you seem a little bit too young for. Jordi.
He scored a goal. I saw him score a goal against Mark Bosnich. No, Mark Bosnich was in the other end. Who was in goal? I can't remember.
Steve Agresovic.
Sullivan, probably Neil Sullivan.
He's got a title winners medal with United.
Yeah.
And he played quite a lot.
Oh no, he did actually.
He played quite a few times.
Last I checked, he was in Malta.
He's playing for Valletta. He's not playing for them anymore.
Is he not?
Wasn't he managing there?
Or maybe playing manager.
I don't think he's playing anymore at all.
Yeah.
I imagine every time he scored, Johan Cruyff just thought, my sperm scored that goal.
Yeah.
I like how we talked about the Cruyffs and immediately for Jordi's career. Who's got the points? I'm going to give them to Jim.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Maldinis.
Yeah, you can't really argue with that, Pete, can you?
No.
No, indeed.
Well, you literally won't let us, so there's no point arguing with it.
It'll be a waste of everyone's time.
I'm happy for Jim to get it. He's
it
a pal.
Will be a Maldinorno.
You're a pal. He's happy with that. Well, we're going to talk
this
about...
This represents a significant shift in our relationship, actually, 6 years.
Okay,
you're my mate.
Colleague.
Air sharer.
Podcast buddies. We're going to talk about international football. Calls at time of recording. The Tuesday night games haven't happened. Massively inconveniently to us. Thanks
again,
UEFA.
We might
be
listening on Monday night then, so that's fine, isn't it?
Yeah. Tuesday morning. Yeah, Tuesday morning. This is going to be a bit of a preview.
Get it while it's hot.
Let's go straight away to Group H, avoiding the previous letters, because that's where England have been playing their international football of late. England, we thrashed San Marino.
Yes!
Come on,
England, we're back!
Yeah. People rave when Barcelona do it. It fucking pisses me off.
If Messi had done that on his own, he'd be raving about it.
Yeah. Messi probably could have done it on his own.
Yeah. Nobody got four goals, though, so that upset me.
At least the ITV coverage wasn't too patronising. You can't hear this, listeners, but I'm looking around.
Are you from LA Noir?
Yeah, I am.
What do we think then? To be honest, as they go,
it's a nice goal.
I also thought it was a lovely variety.
Belter.
A lovely variety of scorers and goals as well.
Gutted for the San Marino player that kicked off the scoring for us.
Their own goal.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Oh, well. You know, they had their moment a few years ago against us.
Yeah.
So that's one all.
Stuart Pearce with one of the greatest back passes you'll ever see.
Oh, God.
Brilliant.
Rooney scoring a nice free kick.
Yeah.
I think they should have put Michael Owen in the squad for this game.
Just
let him get a few more goals before he goes.
Let him get to 48 and sub him off.
Yeah.
Like I did with Lineker.
No, then just pull his hamstrings out and just put them on the goalpost.
Target practice.
Yeah.
Sturridge scoring as well.
Do you think, like, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain scored as well when he actually got his first England goal against San Marino. For the pair of them, do you think that's maybe a bit annoying? Getting your first England goal against
I think he only started because Walcott got pulled
Bakers.
Out, right?
Yeah, I think someone like Sturridge, it's probably just more of a relief. So that whole kind of, is he going to get his first
chalk
England?
Him up, mate. Just chalk him up.
I think, I just wonder. It's something
I know what you mean.
It's something you dream about forever.
Yeah,
isn't
I know
you
what you mean.
To come in a bigger game.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair
look at San Marino's goal difference, like -24. Why are they still playing?
As our very own Luke Moore, who's sat to my right hand, said that, you know, San Marino, Andorra, Luxembourg, all those types of
Scotland.
Things,
just early, get out of the way.
In many ways, it's what derailed David Nugent's career.
Do you think?
Yeah, because he scored a goal against Andorra.
He did score a goal
against Andorra. I think it would have been against a bigger team.
Which was spoken right about on the first...
Chamberlain and Sturridge are ruined now.
Which that goal was spoken about on the first ever Football Ramble podcast.
Was it really?
It was indeed. You two weren't there for that.
The glory days.
Late to the party.
The good old days. High five, Marcus.
But we've gone massively off track.
Yeah.
Lampard scored a lovely one. A dummy from Rooney in a lovely little slot.
This is against San Marino. I think we've given it too much attention.
England will never ever play against. It's just nice to see them do it.
No, I think what is probably good is for, you know, the best thing you can get out of this game is a big win.
With goal difference.
Lots of scorers. You get some players that are maybe a bit low on confidence because they're not playing so much or so well for their clubs, like Ashley Young and Oxlade-Chamberlain. I mean, everything positive that they could have done with that game, they did do. So credit there.
I'll give him credit. I just don't think it's worthy of the rhetoric afterwards. Fine, did it. I'll give him credit. If someone said to me, what was that result like? Good result. Move on. Next game.
Well, the Montenegro game is obviously...
tomorrow
much,
night,
much
annoyingly.
Yeah. May have happened by the time you hear this.
Yeah.
But they're very confident ahead of that. To the point, almost like pantomime villain style.
Yeah, I think Montenegro are a decent enough team.
They are good players. They beat Moldova 1-0 away.
And they went down to 10 men in that game.
And they went down to 10 men. They topped the group with 13 points. England the second currently with 11. But that's... at the moment could all change. Could all bloody change.
And also, like, and Hodgson's being criticised as being like a 4-4-2 merchant by their manager.
And long ball merchant.
Long ball merchant.
He played a different formation at West Brom, as some West Brom fan pointed out to me when I called him a 4-4-2 man a while back. I've not forgotten that.
Oh, you're right at it as well, are you? Right,
Oh, you want England to lose, do you?
You animal. Why England lose? Luke Moore.
In Poland lost at home 3-1 to Ukraine. A good win for Ukraine. But Ukraine and Poland haven't really got going in the group, you could argue. I mean, I know they've had draws against England, but is it going to be a late surge from them?
Yarmolenko scored an absolute belter
in
that game. The first goal.
It was a lovely one.
Brilliantly curled shot from the edge of the box.
I felt quite so. It was a bit of a shame for Ukraine and Poland when they had the tournament in their own country, wasn't it? You know, you felt like it really kicked on.
The atmosphere was incredible at that game.
It was really. I think this group that England are in is actually, arguably, a slightly more difficult group. I mean, lots of people, I listened to 606 over the weekend when I was on the way in from work, and I listened to lots of other different bits and pieces. A lot of people seem to be saying that England should be walking the group, which I don't really agree with. Ukraine and Poland are probably average team, average size. But
they're above average. But Ukraine are.
Well, I was going to say, they've got some good players in their teams. Montenegro have got two players who would get into the England squad, in Vucinic and Jovetic.
Yeah.
It's not a walkover.
No.
You know, and that's shown by where the group is at the moment. You know, trips to Ukraine, trips to Poland aren't easy.
And also, Hodgson is trying to implement a different style and all that kind of stuff. I mean, he obviously had them for the Euros, and that was very much a batten down the hatches, let's play very cautiously and see how far we can go. And now he's trying to get the side playing in his way, bringing in some younger and more inexperienced players. So, I mean, of course, if England don't top the group, it will be pretty bad. If they get into the playoffs, you don't want a chance.
Especially looking at some teams.
France or Spain will probably be.
Spain might be.
I mean, depending on how they get on against France, it looks like it might well be Spain. Yeah.
Exactly. But let's go to Group A. Let's go back to the beginning of the alphabet. Croatia 2, Serbia 0. Mm. That is a mother... derby.
Yeah,
and again, the atmosphere at that was magnificent.
Yeah.
God. There wasn't even any away fans. It was still mental.
And they still had, I think, 1,500 policemen.
Wow.
And there was no away fans.
That's just
something like
for
that.
The players.
Yeah. Well, could you remember in, I think, the very early 90s, when the player who played for me, Zvonimir Boban,
yes, I do,
flying kicked a policeman on the pitch.
But that was a club game, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was a similar sort of atmosphere. Yeah, very feverish atmosphere. Yeah, yeah. It was Red Star Belgrade against. I forget who else, but it was amazing.
You're right. Against
Hadrick Split or something like that.
It was a Croatian side against the.
Yeah.
I didn't see any fighting amongst the players. I didn't see any
disappointed by that.
Well, surprised, pleasantly.
Stimac and Mihailovic.
They hate each other.
Yeah, but they were okay. They shook hands and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
they probably met in the car park shirtless afterwards.
Mihailovic is a terrifying man.
Spitty man.
Absolutely terrifying.
Very spitty,
there's
a lot of terrifying men in those two squads.
Yeah, that is true. Apart from Luka Modric.
He's a frail witch.
Yeah, he's there to try and kind of.
If they're having a massive ruck in the Serbian players against the Croatian players, I'd like to think they'd leave Luka Modric alone.
Yeah, I think they do. a little dance around going, ooh, a fight's happening.
But pulling the strings from the back, like yeah. just jumping in with little jibes, yeah. just stirring it all up.
Nice
equal,
the bum.
Equal Joe Wanker.
In Group A, Scotland played Wales.
Oh, but I was going to say, it was a fairly comprehensive win for Croatia. It was, so
yeah.
by half time,
of course, yeah. Yeah.
And Olic was magnificent despite his advancing years. Mm-hmm. Scored one, made one.
There you go.
Although one of them did really bounce off his like stomach, but still.
All counts.
Exactly.
That was a such an amazing ball in from Dario Silva.
Really, all he had to do was get a stomach on it, and it was a goal.
His set-piece delivery is amazing. Yeah. He could play for Bradford City. His set-piece delivery is so pinpoint.
There you go. Scotland won, Wales 2. Aaron Ramsey belted in a penalty.
Such a shame for Scotland, because they started that game quite well.
They did.
And Snodgrass hit the post as well when they were 1-0 up. Mm. And
needlessly got himself sent off.
It was just...
And then Ramsey got himself sent off at the end.
Yeah, but he didn't. He knew it was going, didn't he? He didn't even wait for the card.
He pulled the guy down in the last minute, didn't he?
But it's a shame for Wales. One of their better players is going to miss a couple of games because they're right in there. Again, at the time of recording, you know, and it's important for them, even if they don't reach the playoffs, which is unlikely, but to finish third.
Yeah.
So the next seedings for the next qualification group is very, very crucial. And Scotland are bottom, you know, below Macedonia. They've really got to get.
And they're going to Serbia, aren't they, as well?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, to finish sixth, you know, I remember Charlie Nicholas saying when Scotland were under Bertie Vokes, the thing he said, I don't expect Scotland to qualify in tough groups. I mean, you've got Italy and France and all in there. Well, that was under McLeish, but you know, you've got some good size in there. But it's when the performances are so poor that you finish bottom or you finish second from last, has such a bad and negative knock-on effect for the next qualification campaign.
Yeah, they went very close. You'll know more about this than me. When McFadden scored the only goal in France in Paris, and they beat France, they went very close.
One of the greatest robberies
was that under Walter Smith.
Big Walter got them going, but I think he only was in charge for three or four qualifications.
And then
games.
McLeish came in,
and then McLeish took over. Right. But Scotland were really firing on all cylinders in that group, and they were unlucky not to to get into the playoffs.
I think Strachan, I mean, it's obviously difficult for him. It was his first competitive game. It's a bit of a derby, and they
and
were
Wales
unlucky.
Are doing all right.
Yeah, yeah. Despite Chris Cowan's best efforts, but I think Strachan will in time do a decent enough job there. They've got some good players.
Well, I think he was the best man off the top of my head. Forgive me. I've upset people in Scotland, but
Craigie Brown.
Well, second best. But I mean, Brown's retiring at the end of the season. Get Brown in on the bench.
Do you think they'll
retire
the national team out of respect?
They'll retire the bench.
So there's no need to do that.
Well, if I could have the bench in my house, then I'll take it. I think that you know, you had the Beckham role for England in the World Cup. You have the Brown role.
He's 70 years old.
Absolutely.
Who doesn't love a Brown role? Is this kind of the point where you kind of need to be getting yourself sent off over two yellows to get ready to clear your slate, so to speak?
I
reckon a lot of teams are going, I'm going to get a second yellow here.
It was hilarious when David Beckham did that. When he got booked on purpose. It was so obvious.
People call me stupid.
People think I'm not clever, but I am clever. Yeah. It's one of those things, if you have to say it, you're probably not.
No, but as in
if you say it, you're going to get banned for further, you dick.
But the press was saying to him, why'd you get yourself a needless booking? I don't think they were goading him to say why. I think they were just like, that was a bit odd, a bit of a rash challenge at the end. And he was like, well, it was just so I could get a booking and miss it. And he's like, oh, David.
Come on, David.
David, say something else. Yes, say you're racist. Yes.
What's your PIN number, Dave?
Don't say it. Yeah.
Say it again for the people at the back of the room. But anyway, Belgium and Croatia are going very well in that group. Serbia are disappointing. Their fans there in fourth, but who knows, maybe Wales can finish third, which would be a decent run.
Would help them out for the next qualification, basically, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. In Group C, Republic of Ireland drew 0-0 away to Sweden. Not a bad result, considering Sweden scored four away at Germany in the last group of qualifying games.
But no use to them.
Well, they're still in there. I mean, they're a point behind Sweden at the time of recording, and Sweden have still got to play Germany at home. So, you know, I mean, they're challenging for a playoff spot. So we'll see. I mean, obviously Germany, you'd fancy them to win that group. Although Sweden came in hand against Germany, still got to play them. Who knows, Pete? Stranger things have happened.
Bastian Schweinsteiger scored an incredible goal against Kazakhstan. I don't know if you saw it, but sort of he just caught it in the air on his right, dinked it one way, smashed it in on the volley. Just
they're so bloody good, those Germans.
They are.
They are due a trophy win as well.
Really,
overdue.
We've been saying this the entirety of doing the show, but
Yeah, it's incredible stuff. Group D, a little result. Hungary 2, Romania 2. An injury time goal for Romania kept them in the playoff race.
And the Netherlands are sort of smashing that group, really.
They are, yeah. But I'm just glad that Hungary are making a go of it, because sometimes they've threatened to do okay and then they've fallen away. I mean, they're second, Romania third, both on 10 points. Turkey in fourth, but Mutu, I think, scored in that game as well.
Is he still playing for Romania? Nice, I wondered that.
Always nice to see. But quite an enthralling battle between Hungary and Romania for second spot. So it was a great result for them. Romania getting a point there, being 2-1 down. So interesting to see how they get on. A couple of other standout results before we get to Group I with Spain and France. Group E, Norway 0, Albania 1. A great win for Albania away from home.
Norway generally like terrible at qualifying for tournaments.
Well, yeah.
When was the last time
they've got more of a footballing history than Albania?
That's what I'm saying. Why are they so bad?
But it's funny, in Scandinavia, often...
it's funny in Scandinavia. Little song there for fucking spell.
Oh, that's
a bit of a stinker of a group, isn't it?
No, but in Scandinavia, all the Scandinavian sides, okay, Norway, Sweden, Denmark specifically, all three of them never tend to do really well at the same time. You always got one or two, you know.
I can just hear listeners just grab stats out of their arses. firing them at you.
I'd tell you something, I'd love England to be dropped into that group in place of Switzerland, because there's nothing in there.
Well, Iceland, Albania, Norway, Cyprus, and Slovenia.
Cyprus have got their own problems.
Well, if you put it like that, Luke.
I am putting it like that.
Yeah, well,
exactly how I'm putting
it. But Albania are right in there in the playoff running.
Who's your favourite?
They're right in for the first top of the group. They're only 2 points behind at the time of recording of Switzerland.
Well, there you go.
Blimey O'Reilly.
Did you see the Israel-Portugal game?
Well, we're just moving on to
the game of the round.
The game of the game of the century, Luke.
I saw it. It was some game.
You loved it, didn't you? What happened?
Loads. Six goals.
Israel goals. Was 3-1 up with about 10 minutes left.
Portugal went 1-0 up with Bruno Alves decimating a header. Damn. Terrifying
Damn
the local villagers.
Right. He was one of my favourite players of the last Euro.
They basically had to pick up the pieces of the ball and they decided that at least half of the ball was in the goal, so it counted as a goal, because he'd exploded it with his head. And if he looked at it in slow motion, he caught it in his mouth instead of header in it, chewed it in. And just spat it in. But anyway,
Bruno smash.
But other than that, Portugal were poor. They had absolutely no creativity. They were really linear. Israel ended up going, to cut a long story short, Israel ended up going 3-1 ahead.
Right, let's talk a little bit about the second Israel goal.
Yeah, oh, mate, that's an absolute smasher. Yeah, Israel were really good.
He ran through a goal, the ball sat up, and he just thundered the thing into the top corner.
And, I mean, this is all with having Israel did all this with Tel Ben Haim in their team as well, which is worth pointing out.
Which is
out.
Like being down to 10.
I'll
tell you what, it's the Barack Obama effect for me.
He actually played well. He actually played
Barack
well.
Obama?
He came on for Ben Haim.
Oh my God.
Yeah. No, Ben Haim. Ben Haim did okay, but at one point there was one of the slowest things I've ever seen in international football, which is a Tel Ben Haim last ditch tackle on Helder Postiga, which seemed to go on for about 8 actual seconds.
It was a great tackle, though.
It was brilliant, yeah. He played well. But anyway, Portugal dragged himself back into it.
A highlight of it for me as well was when Portugal were 3-1 down. Cristiano Ronaldo's face. It was just like an eruption of tears were about to come out. Not just a man crying. A man was about to just explode cry all of the moisture in his body out. Yeah. But then he immediately took that grief, as he does, and set up a goal. He was like we were talking about Michael Owen on the profile last week. Yeah. Like a player that just grabs the ball and just makes something happen.
He was absolutely beside himself. I mean, you could sort of understand that if he was surrounded by players who weren't that good. But I mean, he had like Jean Moutinho, Contrao on the team.
They've got such interweaving players.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know why they're so poor.
Recently, though, that's the thing.
They were great in the last Euros. I thought they had a really good tournament and showed a lot of creative flair. So to say things like that is quite awesome.
Yeah, well, that's exactly how they look to
they're
me.
Not struggling, but they're in the battle for the playoffs.
They're making it hard for themselves.
There's no way they're going to qualify automatically. Russia have got 4 points ahead of them with a game in hand, and Russia's game in hand is Northern Ireland. There's no way they're not going to win that.
Yeah,
and so they're going to be 7 points behind. You know, it's there's no chance. It'll be playoffs or nothing. It really will be.
Portugal, you're worrying, Luke Moore.
Well, I don't care. I'm just saying.
You do care.
Okay, I do care a bit.
Come on, they're handsome men. Mm. Want them at the tournament.
But I think, Russia are doing really well under Capello. They've not conceded a goal in qualifying yet, so you can't argue with that.
Absolutely. Group I, Spain drew 1-1 at home with Finland.
Staggering.
Absolutely incredible result.
Yeah.
I mean, and the goal Spain scored was an English goal.
I think.
From a corner, a Bradford goal.
I think what this is Spain's arrogance catching up with him. And I say that because their new shirt looks like it's got a winner's medal on it. Which would annoy me.
Yeah.
I just kick them. Yeah. Maybe, I didn't see all of the game. Maybe that's what happened. They just kicked them so much they couldn't run properly.
Was Rod Stewart in the crowd crying?
He's in every crowd crying?
Kicking footballs into
inspired.
The pitch.
Well, if they lose to France.
Don't come home too soon.
If they lose France to Prime, aren't they in the playoffs as well, pretty much?
Yeah, that's mental.
Yeah, so because, England, because bloody hell.
That, the reason I say that is because that group is smaller than the other groups and don't play as many games, so there's not as much leeway.
Mm. But you know what would happen though if Spain got in the playoffs? They'd get an easy draw.
Well, they'd win in the playoffs.
Exactly, yeah.
They'd get England.
No, as, yeah, they'd get England. No, as in somebody like an Albania get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they'd get Spain or something like that.
I mean, France are in good form at the moment though.
They are in good
Valbuena
form.
Valbuena scored in like the last three internationals he's played, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think he's only got like 5 goals for France or something like that.
I liked Valbuena. I mean, do you remember a few years ago when they came to Wembley, France, and Valbuena played then and he was excellent?
Mm.
They turned this over at
2-0,
Wembley.
2-0, 2-1.
Yeah, 2-1, I think.
Yeah. Jordan Henderson had a torrid time in the park.
That when he and Nasri tore us apart.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I think that was Jordan Henderson's debut, was it, or something like that? I remember him.
Rings
playing.
A bell, yeah. Valbuena was excellent in that game, anyway.
Mm.
He's a terrifying looking man. He looks a bit like.
Stout.
He looks even more of a mafioso sort of henchman than Cassano.
Do you think?
Yeah. Valbuena's nose is a thing. It's a really difficult thing to look at. You should definitely look at it.
Mm. But not for too long, though.
No, you'll turn to stone.
Organised crime.
Look at it through a pinhole camera.
Yeah. That would be terrifying.
Yeah. Incidentally, that.
Sorry to cut you off. I'll tell you what he looks like. This will help you out for people who haven't seen him. He looks a bit like a mini version of Robert De Niro in Raging Bull.
Oh, okay.
That's what he looks like.
It is that stockiness.
Hmm.
He looks like he's hiding another person inside him.
Yeah. And he could definitely beat you up in a fight.
Oh, totally.
Even though he's tiny.
Yeah.
He's shorter than you, Marcus, and he can still beat us all in a fight.
Shorter than me.
Yeah. Outrageous.
Can you believe that, ladies and gentlemen?
And you're tiny.
Absolutely.
You're like one of those things you find on a Kinder egg.
Mm. I keep thinking you're like,
but with half of it missing.
Trying to avoid getting eaten by you.
You can't eat the toy.
But you have a go.
Yeah. But you can swallow it, Luke. Finland.
That's a horrible ending to that segment.
Finland?
Okay.
They've only got 2 points, one of them against Spain away.
Get on that.
Play three, got two.
Get on that and sail it home.
You had to look
Finland.
Over it.
Yeah, I just
and the table I printed out there to
I'm
believe me.
By it.
Oh, I'm sick of looking at tables. I tell you,
yeah.
We get on the friendlies.
We're nearly there. We've got to go to another World Cup qualifier. I didn't even print the table off for this. So you'll be pleased to know we're not going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about USA 1, Costa Rica 0. Ridiculous conditions for any football match.
Can I add to that? Ridiculous conditions made more ridiculous by two decisions: one to let USA play in white, and two. Use a white ball snow.
I think it was like
I'm not surprised Costa Rica freaking lost. They're trying to get a team of ghosts.
I think they were using a white ball and they changed it, or if they didn't change it, it was already a very pale yellow. And it was like, guys, get the orange ball out.
The highlights I saw, they had to put graphics on the ball.
Yeah, they did.
Like it was on fire.
I mean,
wouldn't have been able to see it otherwise. Ridiculous.
Would it be easier or harder for Costa Rica? Because USA obviously presumably have to try and pass to their friends. So it'd be difficult to know whether they could see each other anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I don't know if it is actually an advantage.
Talk about put the ball into space.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be easier for the US, wouldn't it? Because they can see the Costa Ricans.
Yeah.
Why have it in Colorado in this time of year? I know it's unseasonably
cold. It's tactics. Because this is like your South America, let's take them up the altitude.
Yeah.
America's like, let's take the Colorado.
Oh, the amount of times.
The place where all the shootings happen. Let's take them down to Snowtown.
The amount of times I've done like a bit of research about like a South American team who's qualified for the World Cup and who's been fancied to win it. Like Argentina in 98. They're amazing in qualifying. The only games they lost, away to Bolivia.
Oh yeah.
Standard. Yeah. Away to Bolivia.
Bolivia never qualified. They did in 94.
Yeah.
But I don't think they have since. Which is strange,
because technically speaking, if they got qualified for a major tournament, they should be like supermen.
Yeah.
Because when they play at ground level, sea level,
that's the way it goes. But yeah, Costa Rica are demanding a replay. But because I think they suggested no, this is rubbish. Because about 54 minutes in,
they're still playing it. Probably.
I don't know. I was going to say the referee kind of put a stop to it, and I think they were like, look, we're all here now. It's 54 minutes in. Let's just go for it. And the conditions were just stupid.
That was a stupid decision.
It is a stupid decision.
That was never going to get any better. Was
but
it?
I think the fact is that they've all travelled far, Jim.
Yeah.
I played fives on Saturday. We had an 11-a-side match, and it got called off.
You see?
5 minutes in. John Hall, the referee, said any more snow and it's getting called off. It got called off, we played five aside anyway. I took my shirt off as a joke again.
Exactly.
And then I felt rather ill for some days after.
That is the, that is the true spirit of football.
Yeah. Mm.
The Costa Ricans are not adhering to that spirit.
Yeah. Can we cut
they
that?
They should be ashamed of themselves.
Cut the audio out of that just and just send it to the football federations.
Yeah.
This is a little wake-up call.
With a little note on the CD saying, yes, CD, saying, saying now get on with it. That's what I'd like to see.
That's what happens in the Thames League, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Thames League.
I can remember, we were playing for a team in Edinburgh. We turned up at this side, twice it got called off through rain.
Rain.
Not even snow.
That is some rain, that.
But unless that's indoors, that's ludicrous.
I've been in a situation where I've turned up to a game as a kid, like 13 or 14 or whatever, and we've gone there and the pitch has been frozen with actual ice on it, and the referee has said, "All right, game can go on, but no slides." No slide tackle.
No, if I choose to mash my legs up.
Yeah.
I like the idea of you turning up to a game now as a 13 or 14 year old.
Do you, Pete?
Yes, yeah. I do.
Just keep that to yourself.
Yes, lad.
I scored a brilliant goal past you in the snow once, didn't I, Pete?
You did, yes, but I did slip on some ice.
There was a friendly. It was Italy versus Brazil. It was 2-2, and Balotelli got a beauty.
Mm.
Curled height. Oh yes,
Fred scored again as well.
He did. He's got a habit of doing that. Was it Oscar who got the second?
It was. It was a lovely setup from Neymar. Yeah,
lovely Finn.
I thought Fred's finish was better because he proper threaded it past the.
Ballo's was a nice one, right in the top corner.
Yeah, well, I think I like Oscar's because it was a slip and a flick.
Yeah, it was a slip. It was lovely because there's a break, wasn't it? And Neymar carried the ball for quite a distance, then slipped him.
Do you prefer a slip and a flick or a slip and a brush?
I love a brush. I have to say, I love a brush. I do really love a brush. Yeah.
Or a slip and a dink.
Bringing dinks in—that changes everything.
Slip and a scoop.
Yeah.
Oh, you dirty boy!
What did we say in Spanish? It's not a slip if it's Spanish. It's something else we were saying. A thread.
Yeah.
Give me a thread and a brush any day.
How about a whip and a header?
A whip. A whip. Yeah.
A caress.
A drill and a poke.
Yeah. But off the keeper.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah. No, I mean, a caress is like a brush.
Okay, a shamak and a fuckery.
Yeah. Plenty of those, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
A hoof and a nut.
Yeah. A hoof
that's
and
an
a shank.
Goal, that is.
A hoof and a shank. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
A hoof and a bobble.
Yeah.
So that was Italy and Brazil.
Yeah. We have drilled down there.
They played some football and scored some goals. It was nice to see Brazil, they went 2-0 up, playing a bit of good football, and you think, that's it, boys. Yeah. Come on, give us a bit of
that's
Big
it,
Phil.
Boys.
Is it Big Phil, do
you think? Leave the back door open. That's the stuff.
Well, that's it, getting a bit more momentum.
Give it a name, man. Make him do it all himself.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I was getting a bit worried for the host nation for the 2014 World Cup.
Well, they lost to England. That's always a sign. Yeah,
that is terrifying.
Balotelli's goal was very much I'm not having this anymore. Bang. Mm. Get it
that,
in there.
Sort that right
out. It was side footed, wasn't it?
It was like a Drogba looped smash, but with the sort of instep. It was weird.
Wonderful.
Yeah, glorious stuff. Right, we're going to leave international football now, and we're going to come back home. To the home of football, Wembley, where the FA Trophy was played. It was Grimsby 1, Wrexham 1. Wrexham hammered them 4-1 on penalties.
Saw the game, it was a really good game.
The Welsh teams are loving it at Wembley, aren't they?
I tell you, as I said, it was a really good game. It was a decent enough game. But the Grimsby goalkeeper made some amazing saves in that game. He kept him in it for ages. It was a real shame they lost on pens because he was a superstar.
Yeah, Wrexham, the first Welsh side to win the FA Trophy. It was about just over 35,000 there.
Mm. Oh, Grimsby,
atmosphere was phenomenal.
Yeah. Both those teams have been league clubs, haven't they? So, I mean, it's not a massive surprise. There was one save he made, the goalkeeper, where I think it was an extra time, so the Grimsby defenders were obviously knackered, but the ball came in, and the striker had time in the penalty area, about 12 yards out, to flick it up and volley it.
Yeah.
And the keeper made an amazing save. It was a really good save.
Yeah, Brett Ormerod up front for Wrexham.
That's
good
right.
To see him. Good to see him.
And the deciding penalty was a waddle, exactly like Waddle.
Yeah.
The last of it.
Shame. Chrissy Waddle.
Well done to Wrexham, though.
Yeah, indeed.
They've had some tough times. Well done to them.
Yeah, well, blimey, they nearly went out of business, did they not? Quite recently. So, yeah, fantastic trophy win for them. Let's go to the Premier League, where West Ham are going to be moving into the Olympic Stadium for the start of the 2016-2017 season.
Yeah,
money well spent.
Money well spent, Pete? It's better than Park, I suppose. But it won't be next to the mosque, will it? So.
Oh yeah, no Muslims are a Geordie anymore.
No.
Oh,
shame. I missed that.
What a shame.
Well, maybe you can still leave a bit earlier and go past it anyway.
Yeah, shout Muslims are a Geordie, they'll be confused. Newcastle yeah. in town. Good. Yeah.
For those of you who don't remember the story, someone chanted Muslims are a Geordie
at a mosque
at West Ham.
It was a lovely moment.
Yeah,
it's only one of my favourite moments in football.
Inclusive.
It was.
As the Geordies often are. Now, I think it's
except when they're wrecking non-league grounds. Showing their bombs off.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I live quite near the Olympic Stadium, so I'm happy that's
happening.
So you'll
be going?
Yeah, I'll
get yourself to see some good football?
Yeah, real football. Yeah. But it's good that, you know, they're still going to have athletics in there and it's still going to be used for gigs and stuff. So there needs to be stuff happening in that stadium. It can't just be left there for the occasional athletics. I
agree with Jim, but I think the couple of points I'd make is one, that it was annoying that when it was designed and commissioned in 2006, there was no provision for it to be a Premier League ground afterwards, so therefore it made it more expensive to convert it, which seems a bit short sighted to me. And I also saw that if Golden Sullivan try and sell West Ham within 10 years, obviously due to them moving to the Olympic Stadium being a massive boost to a potential buyer, they have to pay a load of money. So it's definitely happened. Also, I think a lot of the taxpayers' money will be made back by the fact that West Ham will be leasing it. I think that's right. That's what happens in Manchester.
Yeah. It's £2 million a year, isn't it, and a 99-year lease.
Okay. West Ham are still getting a great deal out of it, but I mean, like you say, you'd rather a club went into it than it just sat empty for.
Of course.
For ages, you know.
Yeah. I'm just annoyed that Boris is making kind of, you know.
Power plays to be Prime Minister.
Yeah. Doing terrible interviews on the television. But that was the only part of that interview where you thought, he's got Ken over a barrel there, hasn't he?
Yeah. The thing is with Boris, though, he claims the Boris bikes, and that was Ken's idea as well.
Yeah.
So he claims if he wants it one way, he's got it both ways.
Though,
it?
This is very London based chat. It's people outside of the London listen to the ramble.
I don't believe that.
Okay. Let's go outside of London ourselves to Newcastle. Steve Harper, Pete. He'll be leaving the club in the summer after 20 years of service to the Maggies, the Magpies.
Is he going to Villa to be near Shea?
Where good goalkeepers go to die. Yeah. No, I'd like to see him take some part of the match against Arsenal last game of the season.
He's a qualified ref. Get him in as a ref.
referee.
We can't have one of their players reffing our match.
No, not even for that particular game.
Right. I think Steve Harper would be quite fair. Oddly enough, though he's a massive, obviously, club man for Newcastle.
He's going to be your referee's assistant, surely. Well, he's not getting a game.
Okay.
Fourth official.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. I like what you've done there, Jim. I like what you've done there. He did play in an FA Cup final.
Well, I haven't done that.
Which they lost.
Yeah, we still
were. He was a terrific club servant. Most players would just be, you know, out of there and stuff. Yeah. But he's just, you know, he's a local,
you love Steve
local
Harper,
fella.
I'll counter that by saying he's a very unambitious man.
Well, he's made a few quid doing what he loved doing.
Yeah,
sitting down,
watching football.
Yeah,
yeah. Maybe he'd be a good pundit. He's had enough practice.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Could be.
That's true.
Ref or pundit? That's what I see for Steve now. Pundit, but very much a local pundit, local radio, local telly, that sort of thing.
From the ground, still on the bench
with Nick Laws.
Yeah. Essentially, he's going to be doing the same thing, just with a pair of headphones on.
Stop being rude about Steve Harper.
Sorry. Would you prefer me to be rude about Steve Harper or Kevin Keegan?
Oi, stop it.
Don't make me choose.
Let's go to Norwich. They've just signed a Dutch striker, Ricky van Wolfswinkel.
Why did you say it in German if you start?
Ah, because you've got it, haven't you?
Luciano Becchio's loving
Ricky
it.
Van Wolfswinkel.
Isn't he? Becchio, I can't believe his luck.
He's. I was saying this to Jim on the way here to the Ramble HQ that I understand the move. It's probably be on more money at Norwich than Sporting Lisbon. It's a possible stepping stone. You know, he's a good striker. He's young. He's in about 24. He would probably hope that he would get a move in a couple of years to a bigger side. But there's just something about he'd rather go and play for Norwich City than Sporting. That I just think, modern football.
Have a go at them.
Yeah.
Have a go at Norwich.
Have a go at Houghton, another one of my loves.
But do you know what I mean, though? You think of Sporting, what an incredible history. You play in a large stadium in front of 40, 50, 60,000, whatever. You know, possible Champions League football and all that kind of stuff. It's just money talks.
As Anton Deck sang, they is.
Let's get ready
stuff.
To rumble.
Well, his career decisions are his to make, so I think I'll distance myself from that. But
I think. Oh, but when Harper's up. For
yeah,
I'm gonna go out. Yeah, that's
yeah, he's
fine.
He's a joke.
No, but do you see what I mean?
No, I understand the point. I think Van Volsbinkel, from what I've seen, I don't watch an awful lot of the Portuguese league. Saw him in the Europa League last season. He scored a few goals, takes pens for him, looks decent.
Takes pens.
As far as I know, Norwich don't really play with two strikers, do they? They play with Houlihan just behind another one. But I don't know if him and but Becky hasn't played that much, has he? Is he injured or something?
Yeah, he's bringing some Stroop waffles over for Holt. Yeah. That is what's happening.
It's undisclosed the fee, but he must cost quite a bit. Because I'm pretty sure he was on quite a long contract at Sporting, so it must be quite a bit of money.
Signing for Norwich. Yeah, but you know, as you say, he's probably using it as a stepping stone. But it's like, at his age, why not just be decisive?
No, I don't understand. I'm just being a sentimental old fool.
And Norwich have got a reasonable stadium. They're doing all right. They're an established Premier League team. They've got a pedigree of being a top flight team. So
yeah, their canteen will be amazing with Daily Richard.
I know. I bloody know. But you get the point I'm making.
No,
I get the point. I just think it's wrong.
Yeah. Well, we don't have time to discuss that now because we're going to talk about.
We've done it. We've definitively. done it.
Well, you know. We're both right. Nigel Adkins, he's looks set to be named new Reading boss.
I think we should talk about this at length.
Do you think?
Yeah, because just there's a chance it won't happen. Big Gus Poyet turned it down, didn't he? So,
yeah. Is he really? Okay, well, let's move on to the Championship then. Adkins, what a great signing for Reading. Or if not, then unlucky.
If not, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly. The Championship. Vidra has been named Championship Player of the Season.
Can't argue with that. Jim's a fan.
Jim is a big fan.
It'll surely be recalled to Udinese.
Tom Ince, Young Player of the Season.
But they both nominated for both, weren't they, those two? I think Vidra and Ince were both nominated for Player and Young Player.
Were they really?
Yeah, so they've shared the spoils.
Well, you can't have it all, though.
It's not.
Paul Ince will have snapped that trophy by now. You've won nothing in my eyes. You care about me cock, that's all you've achieved.
Oh dear.
What an image.
Fully formed.
Yeah. And then just punch Kevin Keegan.
Matt Ritchie named League One Player of the Year. AFC Bournemouth, but that was what Paolo Di Canio resigned over or walked out or went mental over whatever.
He's a Pompey lad as well, Matt Ritchie, I think.
Is he?
Yeah, we make him good.
Yeah, well, come
where we make him, which is hardly ever.
We make him good.
I tell you, speaking of that, I'd like to talk about Paul Sturrock being given the flick.
Yeah.
That's an embarrassment.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Phil Brown's come in.
There's your reason.
On your
hang on. Phil Brown managing Southend seems like the plot of a reality show.
Yeah.
Do you think this is what's happening?
Could be.
I think they called Paul Sturrock in, told him they were sacking him, and Paul Sturrock went, I can't believe you've done this. You know, when I took over, there was only four senior pros at the club. Yeah, I've done a really good job. We've got Wembley final coming up. And they just pulled a picture of Phil Brennan, just pointed at it.
The leader of the pack.
Phil Brennan on the motorbike. He's back down in his goatee.
Drives up, pops a wheelie.
And Paul Sturrock just shuffled out.
I'm back, baby.
Yeah. Hang on, I've got a call coming from my Bluetooth. It's Big Sam. I'm taking the assistant job at West Ham.
Very in joke there.
Yeah.
A lovely press release as well, was it?
Oh my god. If you haven't read the Southend press release, you've got to read it. It's so bad. It really is so bad. But I like to think Phil Brown's got a clause in his contract which says he can go and work for Big Sam whenever he wants. Because I know that Big John Gorman had that with Glenn Hoddle, didn't he?
Is that right?
John Gorman would take the occasional first team job, but he always have a clause in his contract that he could go and work for Big Glenn.
Mm.
Being a Glenda.
Did Gary Stevens? Was it Gary Stevens or Gary Stevens had that any football job? When he could get out of reporting for Sky Sports News.
Did he really?
No, do you not remember?
Oh, when you standing outside Spurs training ground.
I'm going to go in there.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a word with the new manager.
Yeah.
See if I can get myself a job. Hang on.
You're working now, aren't you?
But isn't Sturrock coming back to for the final?
That's patronising, isn't it?
Yeah. It is.
Really? Oh, you take it.
It's
though.
Nice, but it's you know, I think you're in a win-win situation. I don't think the fans are particularly happy about the situation, and you know.
Well, unless if he actually wins. He gets the medal, he bludgeons the chairman to death with it.
Yeah. If he wins, he can be giving it the David Pleat gallop across the edge. Yeah. Mourinho knee slide and everything.
Yeah. Get on his own motorbike.
Yeah.
Do some skids.
Exactly. It's got a great day out here.
Do some skids.
His knacker on a dustbin lid.
Tom Pope, League Two Player of the Year.
Yeah, speaking of that, I've got a little bit of an issue actually, because under the running order, you put Pompey 1 again in League Two.
Yeah, I know that.
Not quite. Not yet. Not yet.
That was a dig.
Yeah, it was a dig.
They did. They won at home against Coventry. Five points from safety, although Oldham have three games in hand on them. Can they do it, Luke?
Absolutely not, no.
I mean, I'm going to use the word surge.
It is a surge.
Yeah.
We'll get out of the relegation zone and then we'll get slapped that 10-point deduction and we'll get down there again.
I'd like to...
I mean, is there any chance of that not happening?
I don't know the legalities of it, but I don't know if they could potentially move it on to next season. Mm. I don't know. Presumably, they may be able to do that. If they can, then it's a chance. But, I mean, they're not going to stop anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Luke, get your hopes up.
I would like to talk about...
Shut up, Arsenal fan.
I'd like to talk about goal of the year. Simon Cox for Forest against Birmingham. I mean, you've got to give it, haven't you? What a goal it was.
It's a brilliant goal.
Took it out of the sky.
Amazing.
Beautiful touch and a little dink.
Presumably.
Yeah, well, exactly. No, long ball over. Great touch. Same foot. Lobbed it over the keeper. A dink. It's cool. I mean,
so what was it? Hang on. So
a pluck and a dink.
It was a pluck and a dink.
Pluck and a dink, mum.
Let me just get that.
Write that down. Pluck and a dink.
Did you say mum?
Yeah.
Dennis Bergkamp would have been embarrassed for that, honestly.
Simon Cox.
Yeah, so a worthy winner of Goal of the Year in the Football League Awards. Right, now it's time for something a little different, isn't it, Pete?
It is, yes. Marcus, while you were off making life a little bit more difficult for poor girls out east...
come on.
We did... come on. That's we did a bit of a... We started a challenge that we never really finished with Football Manager. You may have heard of it.
I finished it.
We've all finished it now, but we hadn't finished it by the time Marcus got back because I was on holiday, you know, I was distracted. It's a full-time job, thinking about being a Football Manager. the challenge was, basically... with 1 week left to go of the Barclays Premier League transfer window.
Barclays Premier League, eh?
Well, I'm on the radio, I've got to say, you know. basically we had 20 million to spend and we had to basically do our best and try and keep QPR up.
In the Santander Premier League.
In the myself,
the
Lukey
world's
Mower,
local Premier League.
Myself, Lukey Mower and Jim Campbell all took part. Did any of us manage to keep QPR up?
No.
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 No. Oh, my squad was a mess as well. I think Tony Hibbert was probably my best signing.
Was it? Did he play?
Yeah, he was alright. Yeah. It was so difficult to get anyone to sign for them.
Well, that was,
and you couldn't have Loic Remy.
He seemed to sign for Newcastle, weirdly enough. And I don't know what went wrong with my game, but I managed to sign James Perch in February.
I was offered Perch in February.
I managed to sign so many players. I'm almost the opposite to you. I got relegated in the middle of April when I drew 1-1 with Stoke when I needed a win. And I ended up finishing bottom. But I signed so many players. I had so many attacking players. At one point, I had 62 players in my squad.
Very early on, I made a point of being very aggressive. To the players individually as a group, as a press to other. I'd always comment on other managers as well, aggressively and derogatory.
I've got one here. I'm in Kick magazine, apparently. The title of the piece is Donaldson Issues Ferguson Response. A clearly annoyed Pete Donaldson has pulled no punches with his recent comments toward Alex Ferguson in the media. I've never heard of Alex Ferguson, so I don't mind what he says about me, Donaldson told Matt Renshaw from Kick magazine. This is the first time that Donaldson has talked openly in the press about Ferguson. So yeah,
like
that was one of them. But my main signings were.
Have you checked? Did you watch Mark Hughes at QPR? And went, yeah, that was.
I signed Robbie Keane, Nicholas Anelka,
the usual,
Scott Sinclair. who else? Oh, I had so many attacking players. Oh, I signed Jan Mavilla as well.
Did you get Danny Murphy?
He can keep me up. I couldn't get him. He wasn't interested.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, he wasn't interested.
Yeah,
I tried to sign Yukubu actually, but the board wouldn't let me because he wanted too much.
They're not football people.
No, they're not.
I brought in
couldn't find him.
I brought in Nugent. I think I mentioned before. I spent a lot of time scouting Breastworks FC, which I think they play in Jamaica.
Well done.
Here's one final news story. Donaldson goes berserk. Pete Donaldson caused a stir by storming out of a press conference to announce the signings of Dudu and James Perch. The QPR manager seemed to take offence at the line of questioning from the Daily Mirror. A source at the press conference confirmed that Donaldson had shouted, "Behold my marvellous new dancing men," as he left the room. And another quote to BBC Radio 5 Live: Mumsy's just upstairs, I got to go, as he left the room. I stormed out of Mumsy press conferences quite a lot. Yeah,
a bit Chris Lloyd Ryan,
a little bit Chris Lloyd. So yeah,
like it.
Yeah, no, I got absolutely pumped in pretty much every single football.
I got a couple of good results. I got a draw against United,
managed to beat Villa as a recall.
Oh, I lost to Villa. I lost to Villa. Yeah,
I practically bullied Adel Terabs. I'd like have a personal go at him at every opportunity. I called so many team meetings that Park Ji Sung, my captain, would just say, "We seem to be having a lot of team meetings all the time."
That's all he responded with, the arrogant shit.
Yeah. There we go. So if you could, I mean, I think we've set it up for the listeners. Then
yeah, it's on the Twitter as we speak. We'll try and stick it on the website. It's probably an easier place to do it. And one of our fine listeners kind of set up the save game at the same point, so you guys can have a crack. Yeah, it's bloody impossible.
It's hard. If you manage it, let us know how you've done it. Yeah. And good luck.
Damn right.
Good luck.
Damn
indeed.
Straight.
There you go. Right. Let's get back to proceedings with Pete's game.
Yeah, back with something Pete did. That's what everyone come here for.
It's quite it's quite a long show. I feel like we've been doing this for ages and we're only on Pete's game.
Well, there was a lot of tables at the start. Bloody boffin spell out there.
So I think I'm going to try and guess this really super quick.
Yeah.
Make it right, two in a row.
Right. Okay.
After a legendary Juve roster last week.
In the in honour of Ant and Dec's fine performance at the weekend, doing the Ready to Rumble and that, I've gone for Saturday night Takeshi Okada.
Ah, oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's not good.
Well, shut up. I was a PE teacher until 1970.
Stop. Stop. Is it Peter Shilton?
No.
Stop. Is it Roy Hodgson?
No. I became assistant coach at Chelsea at 29 years old.
Stop. Is it...
Oh, no.
Is it Brendan Rodgers?
No. I am an MBE.
Stop. Is it Sammy Amiobi?
Stop. It's Eddie Newton.
We've had Eddie Newton. Even I remember
that.
That
did go through my head.
Yeah.
A street in Cheshire is named after me. Cheshire.
Stop. John Street.
No. It's a lovely bit of work, that is. Give yourself a round of applause there, Joe.
I can't remember his name. He's not the assistant coach at PSG, is it?
You're not going to win it like that.
In 2004, I won the PFA Merit Award for services to football. I've had a 30-year managerial career with no break longer than 2 years, in which time I've managed just three clubs.
Well, it's not the blog at PSG.
This is amazing. I should know who this is.
That's not bad. 30 years, no break longer than 2 years, and he's just managed three clubs.
Stop. Is it David Moyes?
No.
Stop. Alan Kirbishley?
No. One of the few managers ever to get legally a cut of outgoing transfers.
There's so many options, but
stop.
Legal.
Is it Dario Gradi?
It's Dario Gradi.
Yeah! Get up there.
Big one.
Good lad.
Two in a row. I want a hat trick.
I was the stage name of Paul Spencer, Scott Rosser, and Stephen Spence.
Hmm.
Yeah. Ah. Dario
G. Yeah, Dario G. Sunshine.
Great stuff, Peter. Great stuff. Right, let's have some correspondence, you beggars. Pete, you're going to kick us off with this.
Little bit rude, but thank you very much, Spelzy. I'm talking again, everyone. Hooray.
It's a Pete special. This has been a massive contribution from you,
it
Pete.
Really, really is.
And we've loved every second.
Exactly. Thanks to literally Ian Wright and indeed the O2 Future Timeline. We've got a four to give away.
Oh, right.
Is it Ian Wright's phone? Have you stolen Ian Wright's phone?
You've got loads of phones in your bottom drawer. It's not one of them, is it?
No, it's a good one. It's a Windows phone. It's very, very good indeed. So, yeah, whoever wins the correspondent update, we give them a phone.
Okay, well, the question of the week this week was, lots of people moaned about International Week being boring. How would you sell it to them or get them into it? That was the question. Mm. James Holness weighs in with, technically, you get a whole week of football without Rio Ferdinand and John Terry.
It's true. That is reasonable. Yeah.
One gunner says, simply says, Stoke are not eligible for this competition. Matt Fenn on the Twitter says, the only place you can see Giovanni Dos Santos play well.
That's a very good argument.
Bit harsh though, isn't it?
Okay, fair enough.
Retracted.
Yeah.
Raj Bain says, I'd lead them into a dimly lit changing room inhabited by a stark bollock naked greased Tony Pulis and beat it into them. Another Stoke themed one there.
Yeah. Intense.
Wow. Ian O'Mara says, rather sarcastically, as a Liverpool fan, I like the internationals because I don't get to watch enough frustrating underachievers during the season. Webby says, serve it with ice in a big bottle. Work for cider. True. Cider made a massive comeback on that. You wouldn't know because you don't drink
much beer now.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. No, I wouldn't. John Proven says one which I don't actually agree with, right, which is that you can wear an England shirt in public without looking like a petty criminal or northerner.
Oof.
No, we don't like that at all.
If anything, northerners don't like the English team because they are mainly of the south.
Yeah.
But yeah, true. Fair point.
I still think you look like a petty criminal as well.
Jay Correa through Twitter says, I tell them that international football is where unknowns like Leo Messi and Kun Aguero were discovered by Sky Sports. Good one. And I think we'll finish off with Josh O'Collins, who says, show them Argentina, Peru, World Cup 2010 qualifier. Messianic reign, San Martin Palermo, El Diego's belly flop sold. If that fails, football's not for you.
I think someone's bagged himself a phone.
Yeah.
Well done, Josh O'Collins. You get a phone.
Funny for now.
We'll phone you
if you give the O2 Future timeline a bit of a shufty online. Righty, as he is known, his brand name, so to speak. He's predicting what's going to happen in the future, but also in the Premier League this weekend. So he's gone for a home win. Swansea, Tottenham. Do you sort of agree with that, lads? Yeah.
Well, Swansea at home.
Yeah, definitely.
He's saying that because he played for Arsenal.
Yeah, I fancy a draw.
Yeah, no, I think 1-1, maybe 2-2.
Yeah, Fulham QPR home win.
Yeah.
Again, that screams draw to me.
No, Fulham will hammer them.
I fancy a draw.
They've beaten them 6-0 before. They know how to.
Yeah,
do.
But you know,
it's one of them.
QPR have got more to play for now, haven't they? What have Fulham got to play for?
Martin Yole. That's what they've got to play
and
for.
And finally, for now, Man City versus Newcastle. Even I'll go for home.
It's away. That's an away hammering.
Yeah.
Have you
Philippe
seen how
Albert
big
chipping the goalkeeper?
Manchester City 0, Newcastle 4. Channeling the spirit of Steve Harper.
Have you seen
what he would have wanted?
Have you seen that picture of Hatton Ben Arfa in a roll neck? Oh, he looks chubba lubba.
Does he look like a member of the French Resistance?
Yes, he looks very overweight.
Last player I saw in a roll neck,
chubba lubba,
Mr. Joe Cole.
Oh. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that in real life?
When he was at Lille. He got well into it.
Yeah, he would do, wouldn't he? Yeah. Would do, wouldn't he?
Was he writing poetry outside a cafe?
Yeah.
It's profile time.
Yay.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. We've done it again. We're here. This week, something entirely different. As if you thought we couldn't mix it up enough, we've put a stadium in, we've put a tournament in, we've put a match in, we've put a bloody trophy in before.
We're putting ourselves in.
Well, that'd be the last
Born.
Paper.
I ran in and shouted and then ran out again.
Yeah.
Ah! See us.
We are putting in a television show. It's Fantasy Football League. Hey. The Dylan Skinner.
Kids next door, so.
That was a theme tune. Back home, 1970 World Cup song, I think. Mm.
For Scotland.
No, for England.
For England. Scotland. What Scotland's one?
For France.
Scotland didn't qualify in 97.
No, they did one with I'll forget it.
You mean
I'll
Don't Come Home Too Soon?
Yeah, that's it.
Which I've already referenced.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, I wasn't listening.
That was Delamitri.
It was Delamitri. Yeah. I think it was Euro 96.
Yeah, and they got absolute pelters.
They did come home too soon.
Yeah, that's the trouble.
Not far to go, though.
It was in England. Yeah. The tournament.
That's why I said that.
That's why I said that. Mouth words.
Well, in case anybody was going to tweet you, they're not going to now. Because I jumped in to clarify for you. It was Fantasy Football League was a television show that went to air in January 1994.
27 years after the Summer of Love.
Great maths.
Mm. It must be the youngest. It's the youngest entrant.
It will be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For now.
It was. World Cup 2002.
No.
Oh, yeah. World Cup 2002. Yeah, good point. Yeah. Good point.
Hey, get your facts right.
Who are you talking to?
Right. Showing slogans at us.
Know your Hall of Famers.
Your heavy petting.
It was originally a radio programme.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really originally about fantasy football, wasn't it?
When it made its way onto BBC Two with Badil and Skinner presenting, it was. The studio was set up like a lad's living room.
It was like
flat.
Their living room, wasn't
yeah.
it? Because they lived together.
They did live together. They had a front door where celebrity guests would just march through.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what, some of my favourite celebrity guests on that show, which we'll come on to.
Angus Loughran, aka Stato, was in the kitchen area with his dressing gown and pyjamas on, and he would come out with the facts and the stats, and people would chant Stato at him because they had a live audience.
Couldn't read an auto cue.
It was quite it was quite sort of Zoo TV, wasn't it? But it,
it was
just the right side of good.
Yeah, well, it was back in the day before that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It was like a more innocent time.
It was a power vacuum.
We were younger, basically. It was
sort of like, you know, there was no funny football on television. Satan Greasy was, you know, the most sort of the funniest sort of thing.
Oh, they got Satan Greasy back, didn't they?
Yeah.
Fantasy football got Satan Greasy back for Euro 2004. And didn't Ian St John say in his autobiography, like, he really slagged him off, said it was the worst thing he'd ever done?
it's one of those ideas that genuinely this sort of shit gets launched every week on YouTube, and it never succeeds because it's shit. Fantasy Football League was good. It came at a time where it kind of ushered in a certain sort of level of kind of lads mags wank, but I think it was slightly cleverer than that, slightly more annoying, and slightly
it was more charming than that as well.
But also, David Baddiel and Frank Skinner are two very, very good comics. They knew how to make it work.
But in the 90s, you could get a television show quite easily, could you not?
I think I had one.
Did you?
The 90s was a little bit of a different time for telly.
In Bed With Me Dinner. Yeah. I think that was me, wasn't it?
That was Bob Mills, mate.
I think you've sold the idea, though.
Yeah, you proved your point there.
I think I got points on the dollar.
But there were quite a lot. You're right in what you're saying, as far as there were quite a lot of low budget sort of slapdash TV shows. You had like Euro Trash, Rapido,
Adam and Joe Show.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah.
There you go. The show was aired during Euro 96, and it was live, as it was, I think, in World Cup 98 and Euro 2004. But 96 and 98 was probably its golden period, I would suggest. No, 96.
Well, really, I think the big series run at the start, it was just before
that was 94 to 96.
Yeah. Well, so the first couple of seasons of the Premier League, the Barclays Premier League, not then.
Wasn't then. No.
But it was just all those ones where it's like when I think about, you know, when I first started to enjoy football, that was kind of my players that you wouldn't even hear of, your Jason Lee,
Steve Harper.
But the programme's format changed over the years to the point that I don't actually remember too much of the fantasy football element of
it. Because they had
well, they had celebrities on to talk about their fantasy football teams, and there was an actual league. I think Danny Bear won it one.
Well, there was a situation where I remember Danny Bear being on it a couple of times, but there was a situation where they went from having people on who actually knew about football and football and fantasy football to sort of more general celebrities and stuff. I remember Danny Baker being on it. He was in his full kit once.
Probably one of my favourite guests was Peter Cook. He was very good.
Oh yeah, he was on it, wasn't he? Yeah,
they had some proper legends on there.
Nick Hancock.
Yeah. And Nick Hancock.
Every time he came on, he'd always call David Meller an FNC or something like that. Because that's funny.
I can remember Brigitte Nielsen coming on and being absolutely hammered.
Oh yeah, that's
and
right.
Making David Baddiel touch her breasticles.
Very strange.
Remember David Baddiel having dog chocolate licked off of his face by a dog as his punishment for losing the Fantasy Football League to Frank Skinner at the end of one series.
Highbrow.
Yeah.
I also love the fact that they got Jeff Astle on every week to sing just because Frank Skinner loved Jeff Astle so much.
West Brom fan.
Yeah.
They did. Their sketches became quite well known.
Yeah, the little sketches features. And the sight gags were really good as well.
Frank Clark as Mr. Potato Head.
That was excellent. Yeah.
Jason Lee with the pineapple.
Jason Lee took that so bad. Well, it just made it worse for him.
Stadium
new to
full
do
of
it.
People's chanting, "You've got a pineapple on your head."
He bit. That's the thing. He scored a goal for Forest. And he started giving it one with his hair.
He had a similar haircut. Was it a Leicester player? I forget who it was. He had a similar haircut, and he just embraced it. He loved it, and it just worked out really well for him on the back of Jason Lee's.
Was it Trevor Benjamin? Was it?
I don't remember.
Trevor Benjamin. Oh yes.
But Jason
Lee actually shaved his head, didn't he? Because I looked up Jason Lee earlier, and he's actually still playing.
Really?
Yeah, he got released as player manager at Boston United, but he's still
he's been non-league for ages, hasn't he?
Still going. 41 he is.
They'll take a pun on anyone, Boston. Wasn't Gazza player manager for
there was a brilliant bit where Jason Lee was playing for Forest, and Forest was being managed by Frankie Clark.
Yeah.
And Frank Clark, at one point in this episode, they found footage of Frank Clark in the dugout. Behind him was a woman with a top knot ponytail, which looked like it was Frank Clark. It was amazing. Like, Frank Clark got a Jason Lee. It looked so funny.
Yeah, he's quality. Phoenix from the Flames.
Yeah. That was brilliant.
That was the little bit they did when they would recreate a goal or a moment from the past.
That's kind of like the touchdowns feature that's very YouTubeable, very memorable.
Yes.
It's kind of the thing that
But that
remembers.
Was that really spawn a whole sort of generation of people going, oh, let's recreate this or let's recreate that goal. You know, you go down the beach and not do it at all. But
you sometimes wonder how he takes it to them to do theirs.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of them are quite complicated. Yeah. The Trevor Brooking one where he scored the goal in the cup final when they kept trying to make him swear. that was quite a complicated one.
Just getting foreign footballers to act was just glorious.
But they would get people who didn't speak a word of English to say the odd English phrase. You know, I think Jordan Lechkov, his header against Germany. Yeah. You know, the poor guy's just stood there thinking, "What on earth is this?"
So my favourite one was definitely Gordon McQueen. Where the
what
scene,
was that one?
The scene is so typically Scottish.
Oh yeah, his mummy.
He kept playing the same clip of the company going, "The scene is so typically Scottish." It's like a man counting his money.
Well, there are people like fighting in a bar.
Yeah.
Drunks on the streets.
For those people,
the man Kevin,
the scene is so typically Scottish.
For those who don't know what Phoenix of the Flames is, it's essentially that they recreated famous goals using the people involved. And I remember Alan Hansen doing one for Lineker's goal in the League Cup final, I think. The Lineker basically roasted him, and Alan Hansen was wearing a magnificent Seeker tracksuit top.
Oh yeah,
do you have a Seeker?
Oh, yeah, jumper, with the blades they did.
Yeah, and they basically made Alan Hansen analyse absolutely everything that was happening.
Yeah.
And he was going, right, should we get this turned around then? Well, you shouldn't let me turn. You shouldn't be letting me turn. Yeah, it was really funny.
I like the Archie Gemmell one. Which they, I think we might have mentioned this on his profile actually, obviously his goal against Holland, they start off
it was a trend spotting pass niche at the end.
Like some of the dialogue is like the jokes are so false. What's Archie short for? Archie Bald. And obviously he's bald.
The sketches were painful at times.
There was a couple of lovely moments in that, because Ali McLeod was the Scotland manager for that for that team, and they were saying Ali McLeod looked like a proboscis monkey, which he does a little bit. And Gemmell said
Phil Thompson looks exactly like one.
And Gemmell said he was talking about the pitch was a little bit watery because of the rain the night before, and Badil said, oh yeah, I heard when Ali McLeod went out to inspect the pitch, it was completely waterlogged. Cue a clip of a monkey, you know, going
in a river.
Yeah, wading through like an Amazonian river.
Do you remember the Paul Parker one they did?
Well, no, let me finish this game one, because the best bit of it was when Skinner mentions to Gemmell, you know, his goal featured in the sex scene during Trainspotting, and Gemmell said, well, they had a different attitude to sex in Argentina. Cute clip of Ali McLeod going, the attitude in the camp was bugger everyone. Brilliant.
Ronald Koeman was very good as well, as I recall.
Which was that, the foul? Or the goal?
No, yeah, it was a part of the foul, I think.
It was when Graham Taylor went mad, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. But the best thing is about the whole thing is that nowadays everything gets filmed, everything gets put on YouTube, so everyone's seeing every single clip. Every single clip that we mention on this show every single week, everyone's seen. Or they've heard about it, you know. With Fantasy Football League, you had teams and teams of people, and not everything was committed to film. So it was kind of like some of the things that they found were just wonderful. Yeah. You know, teams and teams of people just going through reams and reams of stuff.
They
couldn't crowdsource it as much.
No, what I really liked about it, though, was the fact that in the big tournaments, it was an outlet after the game. So when England got knocked out of the tournament, which inevitably happened, or there was an amazing game, or there was actually, and that sounds a bit cheesy now because you're so used to interacting with other people because you've got the internet. We didn't have that then. It was a chance to actually share those moments, whether they be glorious victory or painful defeat, with other people. Completely. And no, there are loads of other people who are like you, and it was almost made it a little bit better because you could sit around and they would chat about it, because as you said, it went out live straight after the game, and you could and they turned it around quite quick. You know, they got some good gags.
It was live.
And straight after the game. So for me, it was a real source of
entertainment. A real release, wasn't it?
And release, yeah. Really cathartic.
I remember
it was great.
One of the greatest sight gags they had was when Frank Skinner said that the German national team had been quite angry that they'd been forced to fill descriptions of their players on the back of their shirts. Obviously just cuts to a picture of Stefan Kuntz.
Brilliant. My favourite gag was I can't remember what happened, but for some reason Stato was wearing stockings, I think, and he sort of bent over, and then suddenly a big cardboard cut of David Pleat in a car driving really slow. and just Frank Skinner's line where he goes, he's not going to get on very quickly driving at that speed. I love
they were committed to the painful gag. There was one where they interviewed Jimmy Hill for about 6 or 7 minutes, trying to get him to talk about how his philosophy was about playing the passing game and that sort of stuff. And they went, oh yeah, Jimmy, that's really interesting. And Hill was really buying into it, going, oh no, I like to pass and move.
I like attractive football.
Yeah, and then they just cut to a clip of him as a commentary manager in the 60s going to his players in the team talk, I want you to lump it long.
It was, is the most basic of team talks. He says, he goes, now lads, I want you to play it long. He goes, does it, he actually goes, it doesn't matter if it's too accurate as long as it's high and clears everybody. Most anti-football bloody
brilliant,
you know. My favourite, one of my favourite games is during Euro 2004. And they managed to find some bloke who looked exactly like Pierluigi Collina. And they're like, what's that guy? Oh, it's the Collina. And this guy would come on dressed as a cleaner. Do a little bit of dusting and walk up.
But that sort of comedy is right up your street.
Oh, man, that's glorious, though. That's glorious. You can't.
I like when Stato did a Cantona on somebody in the somebody
in the audience. In the audience. That's good.
I remember reading a thing about that when Cantona did that. I think it was Frank Skinner came home to their flat. And he found a post-it note on his door from David Baddiel that just said, "Wake me up, Cantona's kicked a fan." Straight away, straight on it, as much as they could.
Oh, my goodness. They've made some lovely observations as well from the world of football. And as you said, like the Frank Clark one, and one I absolutely loved was they went, "John Motson's hearing isn't all what it was." And you hear that there's some game and someone goes, from the touchline, "Play it fucking first time." And Watson goes, "A shout to play it first time there."
I sort of got a little bit, I was a little bit disappointed when they came back at this stuff more recently, because it was almost like, the thing I liked about it as well was that they were quite informed about football and they knew enough about it to really hold a conversation and have decent interviews and stuff like that. And when it came back more recently, it was almost like they hadn't really kept up with it and it became a bit
every
cliche.
Second joke was out Peter Crouch.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't as good, you know.
There was a short-lived feature called Gary Neville's The Nonsense and the Silliness That Has Affected Some England Managers. And and here he comes, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin Keegan. Can we play the clip? Or is that...
Yeah, we can play the clip.
Okay. Gary Neville's The
Nonsense and the Silliness. In this episode, Kevin Keegan makes a startling admission.
And I think Gina found the ideal partner. She's so understanding. I think I abuse her.
Just magnificent.
One of my favourite clips ever.
I think I abuse her.
Yeah.
Just came out of nowhere. As memorable as you like.
But it's the celebration that goes straight after it, you know. You'd imagine somebody stumbling upon the guide, "Boys, you won't believe what we've got here."
And bearing in mind, a lot of the clips were, you know, they were kind of covered by people laughing or shouting or they missed their cues because it was such a shoddy production most of the time.
I think that's partly what made it charming, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. But the idea of it was that it was, you know, these people that are laughing about football and you're invited into their living room to watch it. So, it, you know, it would have been shambolic, you know.
And everything's so slick these days as well, isn't it? You know, it's nowhere near as the same. But it was a great quality sort of magazine show, really entertaining. But it's still funny now.
It's been, you know, people have tried to replicate it so many times, as Pete was saying, with stuff on YouTube. Soccer AM, you know, has even tried to kind of be like that in a more sanitised way. And it's just, no one's ever managed to make it work. Mm. And, you know, they deserve credit for that because it's a difficult thing to get right and they absolutely nailed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it always reminded me of, do you remember you used to play those, do you ever used to play those football role-playing games via mail? It was like fantasy football, like, and you'd have different stats and stuff. And it was like a precursor to Football Manager, but it was all on the
post
and stuff, and you'd buy players and play games and stuff like that against other managers and stuff. And it just reminds me, I used to sit down and play that, and I used to watch Fantasy Football League, and that, you know, that's kind of my childhood.
More innocent times, Pete.
Yes,
more innocent times.
For your first arrest.
And also once they put Peter Story on in the back four of like the criminal football team.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you've got so many convictions.
Yeah. There you go.
I met David Baddiel once as well. He's a very nice chap.
There you go. That's further endorsed.
Well, and we'll end with that quote from Jim Campbell. Ladies and gentlemen, from the League, coming into the Newman Hall of Fame, Baddiel, Skinner and all. And if they lived here originally, we'd say they're coming home.
Yeah.
That is the end of a very long ramble. I hope you're still with us. Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com, Twitter is @footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com. Get over there. That's it. Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
And say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me, dears.
Dario Grady and Uwe Rosler feeding the ducks in a park in Swindon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.